Welcome to Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia. This podcast is a collection of messages designed to help you grow in our three anchors of real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility.
Tonight, we are going to begin a brand new series that we have never done in Chi Alpha at UVA before. We have been talking about this series, about doing this series, for probably 9 or 10 years. So I am super excited about this. You guys were like, whoa, that's a long time. I was out of college then. So the series tonight is Things I Need to Be Reminded of Often. Things I Need to Be Reminded of Often. I myself need reminders. Just before service started, I was speaking with Hope. I don't know where you're sitting right here, but, and Hope was like, you need to email me back. And I was like, oh my gosh, I do. I'm going to write that on my to-do list. And so I put it on my Evernote, email Hope back. Because if it's not on my Evernote or if it's not in my calendar and I just make a mental note of something, it's probably not going to get done, just to be honest with you guys. If it's not in the calendar or Evernote, not getting done. So we need reminders. And this isn't a new issue. Thankfully, because how many of you are like me and you need reminders in your life? Yes, the rest of you are probably not telling the truth. Well, we see in Scripture that God has been encouraging his people with reminders and to have reminders since forever. So if we look at Deuteronomy 6:6-9, it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of houses and on your gates. So God is saying, whatever you have to do, wherever you have to put these reminders, remember what I am telling you. And this passage comes right after he gives the Ten Commandments, which were the way that he has created us, and he created them to live fully in him. And he's saying, I know you, and so please remember these things that I've told you, because life will go much smoother when you do. So do whatever you have to do to remember. What might that look like if we had some of the commandments written? Maybe on your phone, you write, honor thy father and mother, so that every time your parents call, you can honor them with your speech. Or maybe, what if you wrote, I am a child of God, on your forehead, right before you went out on a date? I'm just saying, I think it could be helpful. I want to see that on your forehead. So as I've followed the Lord over the years, I realize that I often don't necessarily need more information. I don't need more information about what it means to follow Jesus. What I need are timely reminders of these truths about what it means to follow God, about who he is, about who I am because of him, and about how he wants me and how he has created me to live this new life in him. So that's why I'm excited for this series, and I'm also excited because you're going to get to hear from various staff over the whole semester, and we are going to be preaching pretty much like our life messages, like what is something that God really has to remind you about and something that you feel really passionate and strongly about. And so I'm so excited. You guys are in for a treat, and yeah, not just tonight. That was kind of weird for me to say, but I'm excited tonight to share with you about something that God has been reminding me and telling me to remember over the years. And I'm excited to just kind of show you some of my journey and show you a lot about the Lord. So let me introduce myself before I go any further. My name is Katie Moran. I graduated from the University of Virginia, in 2008. Yes, I'm 31, almost 32. And I did the Chi Alpha internship the next year. It was the very first year we had an internship here. It was amazing. And that summer after the internship, I got married to another of those interns, the handsome Josh Moran. And we came on staff the next year, and we have been here ever since. We also have four amazing children. So this is a picture that the kids wanted to send to Josh last week. So I said, hey, kids, let's take a picture for Daddy. And my son in the red shirt, Levi, he said, I was like, smile, guys. And Levi said, no, we need to frown so that he knows that we miss him. I know, they're precious. They're so precious. So he is looking very, very sad there. Judah can't quite make a frown. He's too happy about the game. He's probably winning. That's memory, by the way, that Josh talked about. So we have these four kids, and these kids are amazing, and they've changed my whole life in so many ways. If you attend Stone Robinson and you're in second grade, you'd know me as Emma's mom right there on the right. If you are in kindergarten, you know me as Levi's mom, the really sad one in the red. At First Baptist Preschool, I'm known as Judah's mom. And that's baby Esther. We'll talk about her later. She doesn't go anywhere. She just goes with me. You guys see me toting her around all the time. I had her in discipleship group today. That was great. And then because of these four amazing, wonderful kids, a lot of my roles with Chi Alpha have changed over the years and are more behind the scenes. And so if you know me, you probably know me as Josh Moran's wife. And while I love these titles and what they mean about my very full life, if I'm honest, it's been a very, very difficult season. To be known more in my because of my relationship to someone rather than being known for my own accomplishments, my own talents, my own gifts, my own contribution, it's been very difficult. I've wondered at times, who am I? Am I anyone if nobody knows who I am? Am I anyone if there's not a title beside my name? Am I anyone if people don't affirm my values and who I am? Because surprisingly, baby Esther, she's gone now. Baby Esther does not affirm me when I wake up with her in the middle of the night again to feed her. She doesn't look at me and say, Mommy, you're so selfless and amazing. She just doesn't do that yet. Hopefully, I'll train her to do that soon. But have you ever been there? Have you ever thought, who am I? Or thought, what do they think of me with that? Or been tempted to put yourself, who you are, your identity, into what other people think of you? Although my husband is really, really great at loving me well, he can't even satisfy these deep desires in me. Well, with great digging and the Lord's great patience with me, how many of you guys are grateful for God's patience with you? Yes. I figured out that many of these struggles that I've had over the years since having kids have been because when thinking about identity, our desire for identity comes from three things: the desire to be known, the desire to be loved, and the desire to be valued. And in some ways or regard, aren't all of our pursuits in life because we have these desires to be known, to be loved, and to be valued? We want to be liked, we want to be respected, thought highly of. You guys are at UVA. Did you know that? You're UVA. Yes. It's kind of ingrained that you're amazing, obviously. but also that you're supposed to be amazing. We're at an elite university, right? It's not really in the culture to present yourself as anything less than the best. I know as a woman who graduated from UVA, I knew that I needed to dominate whatever field I went into, not simply because I probably would, because I went to UVA, but also because I'm a woman and I can't set women back decades. It's not in our culture to sow weakness. Why? Because we want to be respected, thought highly of. We're kind of expected to walk around like a living resume where our only negative quality is our perfectionism. Yeah. Or maybe online, what you post on social media. I know for me, it kind of shows with the pictures that I will post and the ones that I don't post. And I'll go a step further. I think that we really value real community in Chi Alpha. And I think that we are really good and healthy at being a real community. But I think sometimes, maybe in your core groups or in house prayer, you'll be more tempted to share about things that you used to struggle with rather than the realities of what God is working in you today because you have a fear of what will they think of me. So we don't actually experience that true joy and security because we're feeding this fear. This is why I love our passage tonight, because it speaks to this very idea, the center of who we are, and it shows us how God meets all of these deep, deep desires in us to be known, to be loved, and to be valued. So turn with me to our text. We're going to read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. If you're looking for the book of Psalms, you can basically just open your Bible to the middle, and you'll probably get there. So this is the answer to our struggles with identity. This is a psalm that David wrote. So this is David speaking. Verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. We are known. Verse 2. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O God. So God knows us. He knows our routines. He knows our thoughts. He doesn't just simply read us kind of by our body language, like maybe only a few can, or by our facial expressions, which mine are still being sanctified, for real. But even better than that, he knows us. He knows what we're thinking and even what we'll say next. He knows us intimately. He knows you intimately in a way that others can't even know you, or perhaps in a way that others can't know you unless you let them. He's aware of every one of our thoughts and actions. Verse 5 and 6. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So David reacts to this understanding that God knows him so intimately, not by being scared or weirded out or scared that God's this guy in the sky just waiting for you to fail. Like kind of, I kind of had that thought growing up. But instead, David says, wow, like the God of the universe, the one true God, chooses to make himself intimately aware of me. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hands will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. We can't get away from God. He is with us all the time, and this is comforting. David says he's with us in the highs and in the lows, in the near places and those far off, and he's even with us in the darkest times, even those we may have created for ourselves. He's there with us. How does he know us so well? Well, in the next verses, we'll see that it is because he's our creator. And we sang about that tonight. Some of you may struggle with your identity because of insecurities that have developed from a young age. Perhaps it was the events surrounding your conception that leave you desiring for someone, for anyone to know you, to love you, and to find you valuable. Alicia Sholey, who is one of my favorite authors and speakers, says that many believe that life is created by choice. When two people choose to partake in the life-giving act of sex, or perhaps even only one person makes that choice, that then life is produced. But simply making a choice does not create life. You can ask many couples, we have several friends who have struggled with this, who desperately desire to have children biologically and cannot. Just making a choice does not create life. Life is not created by choice. You are not here because of a man or a woman's choice. You are here because God created you, because he desired that you would be here. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when it was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. God knit us together. This gives us a picture of God actively taking part in your creation. He doesn't simply tolerate you living in the world. He's not simply left with a way to figure out how to use you for his purposes. You are not an accident. You are not here by chance, but you are here because God chose for you to live, knitting your entire being together, all of you. Verse 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Many times our search for identity is because we want to be wonderful. We want for people to think we are wonderful. We feel like what we do makes us wonderful instead of just who we are. I love this quote by St. Augustine, and it says, men go abroad to wonder at the height of the mountains. Anybody see any amazing mountains last week? Yes. At the huge waves of the sea, at the long course of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motions of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. And they pass by themselves without wondering. The human body is so complex. Anyone who has studied it knows how complex we are. Even just taking something like your eyes and the way that we are able to perceive the world around us and how many intricate things have to be in place for that to happen. You are wonderful. You are created by God. He made you. He laid your DNA. He knew everything about you before you were even born. Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before you were born, before you were conceived, God already knew your story. everything that would be a part of your story, your testimony, everything that makes up you. Nothing has happened and nothing will happen that takes him by surprise. And I find comfort in that. And I've had some not so great things happen. But I find comfort knowing that God was there with me, that he will be there with me, and that he knows. He knows everything that is going to happen and everything that has happened. We are known. You don't need for other people to know you to be known. Because God knows you and he loves you. When Jesus was on the earth before his public ministry began, before any miracles happened, before he went on his kind of missions trip, he was baptized in water by John the Baptist. So this is before anything, before healings, before feeding 5,000, before anything crazy happens. And I want to read this to you. Matthew 3, 16 through 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven, God, the Father, said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is my Son, whom I loved. With him I am well pleased." This was before Jesus did anything spectacular. This wasn't because of Jesus' GPA or his contributions to the earth thus far. That is not why God says that he loves him. It wasn't because highly respected people respected Jesus. It was because Jesus was the Father's son. Jesus was God's son. That is why he loved him. And the good, good news is that God loves you and he desires that you would be his child. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be his children, so that we could have an identity as a child of God. Known, loved, and valued by him. Can there be any greater identity? Would the worship team come forward? While they're coming up, I want you guys to think with me about what would happen. What would happen tonight? What would happen this week? What would happen in a year from now, in 5 years from now, 10, 20, if you no longer looked to others for their approval or their affirmation? If you didn't look to a job, a grade, or a GPA to tell you that you're valuable, how could this impact you? Well, I can tell you one way. There would be a deep, underlying peace in your life. Circumstances would not be able to rock you like they would if you didn't have this peace and understanding that you are already known, already loved, and already valued. What would happen if you let being a child of God define you? So we're going to do two things tonight. The first thing is, I would like to pray because this is good news and because some of you here may not yet consider yourself as a child of God. You may not have said yes to following Jesus yet. And I want to give you that opportunity. We as a community want to give you that opportunity because yes, we went to the far parts of the earth, but we are on mission here as well. Because there are lost people here at the University of Virginia. There are people that are putting their identity in other things other than Jesus. And they don't know the freedom that Jesus brings. They don't know this amazing identity that they can have as a child of God, this peace that God can give them. And so I'm going to give anybody here the opportunity right now that if you have not yet said yes to following Jesus, to have that opportunity. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray a prayer, and we're all going to pray with you. And prayer is just talking with God. You can say it out loud. He's with us. You can say it in your mind. We read that he's there with us. We're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to celebrate. So let's pray. Just pray something along the same lines as me if you want to know Jesus. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for creating me. I believe that you are the one true God. I believe that Jesus came and died on the cross to take away my sin. And I want to follow you. I want to stop doing life on my own, striving to find my identity in anything else. And I want to follow you. Would you help me follow you? Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you pray that prayer, or if you are stepping into this identity as a child of God tonight for the first time, would you just raise your hand? Because we just want to celebrate with you. We just want to celebrate with you and be a community that surrounds you and helps you know what it means to follow Jesus. That's all that's going to happen. I'm not going to call you up or anything like that. Just to raise your hands. That choice tonight, I urge you not to leave here before you tell someone. We want to celebrate with you. This is good news, and we are excited for you. The second question I have is, what are you tempted to put your identity in other than being a child of God? So we're going to take 1 minute, literally 60 seconds. And all I'm going to have you do is just say, Holy Spirit, will you show me where I'm tempted to place my identity other than you? You can think about things that cause you strife, that cause you to despair, things that you're really proud of, if you need kind of some things to think about. But just ask the Holy Spirit. He'll bring something to your mind. When he does, write it down, and then ask him for help. Ask him to remind you that you are a child of God. Whenever you're tempted to despair because somebody doesn't know your name, whenever you're tempted to look to others' approval for your significance or a title or your degree, ask him to remind you in those times that your greatest identity at your core that you are a child of God. And so we're literally going to take 60 seconds, and you just start your prayer with that. Say, Holy Spirit, what are those things? And then we're going to celebrate together that we are children of God, and we're going to declare that in him, in Christ alone, our hope is found. So let's go ahead and take that minute. Thank you so much. Lord, Lord, there is nothing that we can do to say how thankful we are that you created us, that you know us, that you love us, and that you value us so much that you went to the cross and you absorbed the wound for us. You washed off the marker off the wall for us. And so, Father, we just thank you so much, and we just celebrate in this moment that we don't have to look to others' approval or look to a degree or our work or anything else, God, to find our identity, who we are, because we are children of God. And that is the greatest identity we could ever have. Thank you for being our Father, and thank you for allowing us the privilege, this gift that isn't earned. It's not earned by being good, by being the best, by doing good work, but it's just a gift that you give us. And so, God, we just say thank you for this gift. Lord, help us live differently. Help us live with peace and with just a steadfastness, a calmness in our cores, because we are children of God who are known, loved, and valued by you. So let's celebrate together.
Jesus, how fitting it is to sing about the cross. Sing in Christ alone as we come back from spring break, knowing that that is where our hope is found. That our hope is found in you. That through the cross of Christ, that we can come to you as children of God. That you don't look at us based on what we've done or what we've accomplished or how great our break was, but instead you look at us as your children. So God, we define our identity by whose we are. That we are children of the King, the soon coming King. God, I pray that you would confirm that in each one of our hearts tonight. Whatever is in the way, whatever we have placed in front of ourselves, whatever fame or fortune or recognition or hope that we have put before us, God, we pray that you would help us to replace that with the truth that we are children of God, that our identity is solely rooted in you. That you would confirm that by your Spirit in our hearts tonight. God, we love you. We are so thankful to be here tonight. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For the benediction, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance towards you. Give you peace as children of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have a great week, and we will see you next week. Go Hoos!
Thank you for listening to the Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia podcast. For more information, you can visit our website, xaatuva.com.